Psalm 23, a familiar passage to most everyone here tonight. I mentioned Sunday. We're going to be in Psalm 23, and we'll turn to Matthew 11 in just a moment. In one of the both messages Sunday, we just preaching on, you know, we understand that we reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap later than we sow. We understand that if we will continue to work and do the work of the Lord and be faithful, that in due season, the Bible said, you shall reap if you faint not. What a great, glorious reward that will be. I'm looking forward to that day. The Casillases are there, and the rewards are there. And so, as we were preaching on that Sunday, I just made a comment and just then said I didn't have time to preach on it. But the Bible talks about the rest of a Christian, not the rest of them. I'm talking about the comfort and peace that we receive from the Lord. The Bible talks about the peace that passes all understanding. And it does, absolutely. Most of us have been in a place in our life where we've felt that peace that only comes from the Lord. It's amazing the grace that God supplies at the time we need it. I love that old Flanagan song, "Here comes Jesus with His grace again, just about the time I need it." All right, I won't bore you with that one. That's a good one, though. "Every time I think I find, I back my journeys in." Anyway. The grace and the time that we need it. So tonight I'd just like to take a little time and talk about that the Lord gives rest to His sheep. The Lord gives rest to His sheep. Look at Psalm 23, just the first couple of verses. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He provides that place of rest for His children. And in this particular illustration, He provides rest, comfort, strength for His sheep. I'm glad today I'm one of His sheep, and that He is my shepherd. I love the Old Testament and New Testament illustration of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father as well, being our shepherd, and being our great shepherd, our chief shepherd, our good shepherd. Just what a wonderful way in which for us to understand who Jesus Christ is. By the way, isn't it great that the Bible provides for us different facets of the person of Christ? In other words, He's not just presented in one way. He's presented in several ways in order that we might get to know Him. Isn't that good? That's why the Bible, you can just keep preaching it forever, because it's just more and more about Jesus in a different angle. If you could take a diamond and just, you know, spread out all the different cuts. There are thousands of different cuts in the Bible, different ways in which Jesus Christ expresses and shows us who He is. And one of the greatest ones, if not the greatest, but one of the greatest ones, is that of a shepherd. And I'm glad today He's my shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You thanking You that You are our shepherd and that we are Your sheep. We just thank You so much for all that You do for us, the blessings You've bestowed upon us, the grace that You give us, the peace that You have so richly given us at the time we need it. I do pray tonight as we gather around the Word that You would enable us to get a fuller understanding of who You are. And maybe tonight there'll be something said that might encourage those who've come out. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen. Here we see that our shepherd calls us to rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It makes me lie down in green pastures. That word maketh simply talking about yielding to the shepherd's desires for our life. You know, one of the greatest problems as Christians that we have is yielding to Him. Yielding to Him. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Again, another familiar passage. But going along with this same theme of resting, Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," what? "Rest." Jesus speaking now, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest. In the Bible we have several different ways in which God provides for us rest, but the greatest of all those is the rest that we have in salvation, or the rest that we receive at salvation. I'm glad today that I'm saved, aren't you? And so that provides us rest in that we are no longer at enmity with God. Remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And so when we are born in this world, the Bible describes us as being born sinners in opposition to God, in rebellion against God. In fact, there's a place there that we're called children of the devil. Pretty harsh, isn't it? But we are born sinners. And we are born, if you would, at enmity or at war with God, because we are selfish by nature, right? But when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we are reconciled to Him. That God the Father, through God the Son, reconciles us back to God. And so when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're no longer enemies of God. We're no longer at war with God. And therefore, as children of God, we find rest in Him, knowing that we, again, there's no longer any battle taking place between us and God. We find rest in knowing that we're saved and that we are children of God, that we are His sheep. No longer separated, but placed in Christ. In other words, we know that the void has been filled. That void, that dead spirit in which we were born with, that spirit is quickened, the Bible says, Ephesians says. We are quickened and dead in trespasses, and we are quickened, made alive. And because of that, again, the void in our life is filled. And that brings rest. To go along with that, I'm glad that the Bible says in John that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. That once we're saved, we're always saved. We didn't earn to get our, we didn't do anything to earn our salvation, and we can do nothing to lose it. By the way, if you could lose it, then you earned it. I always tell people, well, what about these people who believe they can lose their salvation when they're earning it? It means they're not saved. Hello? And so I'm glad today I stand before you, and as many of you, most of you in the crowd could say, I am saved. To the uttermost, I know that I am, washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. I'm saved for all eternity. And I can lay my head down on my pillow at night. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret about it. I have that joy that Philippians speaks of. I have that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And even if I was to, you know, take the hammer and hit my thumb and say a cuss word, I wouldn't go to hell for it. Just trying to mess with you. In other words, if I was to mess up just one time during the day, as some believe, lay down my head at night and go to sleep and die, then my salvation would be lost. Listen, I again, as we preach Sunday, I live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I certainly, through the help and power of the Holy Spirit, try to live right and do right. Not because I have to, but because I want to. I love my Savior. He did so much for me, I want to live for Him. We find rest at salvation, knowing again that we are no longer at enmity or at war with God, but we have been reconciled. Number two, the rest not only we find in salvation, but the rest we find because of heaven. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming again. Amen? And He's preparing mansions for us. Brother and Miss Casillas tonight are living in their mansions. They said today that Miss Wanda used to say, I don't want to live in your mansion, I want my own. And maybe that's the case up there. Maybe individuals, everybody gets their own mansion. That may be the case. They were spunky people, weren't they? I mean, Brother Casillas was a spunky man. Amazing. But they're in their heavenly home. Let not your heart be troubled. We find rest and comfort and peace and knowing that heaven is our home, our final resting place. I love again today, as I was reminded, the Bible refers to Christians when they die as falling asleep. You notice it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You notice in Corinthians, falling asleep. Listen, when we pass from this life to the next, we just go to sleep. Yeah, the body dies, but the soul and spirit never die. And we just pass on to our heavenly home. So we think about John and Wanda Casillas as they entered the throne room of God. I wonder if they were like Stephen when Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. When he was stoned to death, the Bible says that Jesus stood up and greeted Stephen. You understand that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. But he stood up to meet the first martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ. I wonder if he didn't stand up for Brother John and Miss Wanda. What a great, wonderful heaven we have to look forward to. The promises of Christ are absolutely true. If it was not so, he would be a liar and he wouldn't be God. We understand that heaven is our eternal home. Number three, not only do we have the rest of salvation, the rest of heaven, but we have the rest of faith. Resting in faith. In other words, the struggle we have many times is not with the world. Many times the struggle that we have is not with the flesh. Sometimes it's not even the struggle that we have with Satan. But a lot of times as Christians, our problem is just simply not yielding to God. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. And when He puts the hand down, a lot of times it gets resistance. Oh, don't y'all are not pious as I am. You know, we're all there, and we get that resistance. Listen, we must be as Christians willing and allowing Him to place us in the green pastures in which He has prepared for us. If we are to have that rest, if you would like to have rest, not just in the future of heaven, but now, you have got to yield yourself, and we have to yield ourselves to the will of the Father, the will of our Heavenly Father, the will of what He wants in our life, and where He wants us to be. We need to rest in Him. So how are we to do that? We're to do that by faith, right? We heard that. We know that. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not, things not seen. I've never seen Jesus Christ, but I know He lives. I know and believe His Word without a doubt. It is the Word of God, the final revelation of God, the inerrant, inspired, infallible, the Word of God. Amen? In this crowd, we believe that. But faith is something that we all are ascribing to, and faith is something that God is working on us, growing our faith. All of us are at different stages, if you would, in our faith. And what we're saying here is if we are to experience the rest that God intends for us to have now, we must, by faith, rest in Him. Rest is not found in other sheep. Hang on. Rest is not found in putting your faith in other sheep. Rest is found in putting your faith in the shepherd. In other words, yes, I think the Bible speaks of we should go to other people for counsel. There's wisdom in the multitude of counselors, and I do that. You guys know I do that, even with things pertaining to the church. I have a group of pastors whom I love, who I go to for counsel, and I'm very appreciative that they're for me to counsel me. But I'm telling you right now, when it truly comes to the point of resting, those other preachers aren't going to cut it for me. Going to my wife is not going to cut it for me. I must put my faith in Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, in order for me to have the rest that I need. What I mentioned Sunday was that rest cannot necessarily be found by taking a vacation. The rest that many people need because of emotional and many of the other problems that they're facing, and you may be facing tonight, cannot be settled by simply going to the Bahamas. You may get physical rest and relaxation and stress and whatever that is, but you're going to come right back to it. What you need to do, listen, what you need to do is find rest here while you're in amongst it. You say, preacher, that's possible? It absolutely is with Jesus Christ, the shepherd, resting in Him. It's absolutely possible. What would be great is if you were already resting in Christ and you went to the Bahamas and just enjoyed yourself, because that's, you know. Amen? I'm not preaching anything that we haven't preached before. Just reminding you. Rest. Rest is found in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved by grace through faith, and I'm to live by grace through faith. And that's by putting my faith in Jesus and the promises He's given us. Man, there's some things I want to share with you. This is good. We need to hurry, though. Faith. Faith. Rest is found in the sheep, is not found in sheep, but in the shepherd. If I could say again one thing tonight, which we have mentioned many, many, many times from this pulpit, is keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the great shepherd. In order for the sheep to have rest, the shepherd must deal with a few things. And one of the things he must deal with is the fears of the sheep. The fears of the sheep. I've never worked with sheep, but I understand that they're very nervous animals. In some ways, anyway, there's a lot of adjectives we could use, but we won't go into those. Because the Bible refers to us as sheep, and so if I say some of those, I may offend a few of you. But we know that they're nervous animals. They're easily spooked by noises and by people and by other animals. And they have to be tended to. They have to be closely watched. That's why there's a shepherd watching over the flock. Even in the, I was talking to a farmer here. It's been year, probably 3 or 4 years ago. Even with these farmers who put their sheep and goats in these 4-inch cattle panels, they still find ways. A stupid goat will put his head through there and get his horn stuck in. I mean, that sheep and goats are just, I want to use the S word, but I'm not going to do it. I better clarify, it's stupid is what I was going to say. At the house, it's called the S word at our house. You don't say the S word at our house. Stupid. But we do from the pulpit every once in a while because it does make a point. But sheep are easily scared. They just are. They're just very nervous animals. And so as we think about this, the shepherd must calm the fear of the sheep in order for the sheep to have rest. Think about that for a moment. How does the shepherd calm the fears of the sheep? Well, we know and we understand by reading that it's really mainly by His presence. Just the presence of the shepherd. Just His voice will calm them. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing that a shepherd can call the sheep and they'll come. It's amazing. Remember that now. The shepherd's presence calms the fears of the sheep. The fear of the sheep are not relieved by the absence of danger, but by the presence of the shepherd. It's nonsense to think that we will ever be absent from danger, or absent from stress-related activities, or stress-related situations. I mean, unless you're a monk out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and even then I think of several stresses I would have, especially if there's no roast or steaks out there. I mean, there's always going to be that element there. So we must realize that it's not the absence of fear, but not the absence of danger, but the presence of Jesus Christ. Presence of the shepherd that brings that rest. Jesus promised to never leave us nor forsake us. No matter the circumstance, He gives us rest. I love this point that this is made by Brother Sexton. It says, the fear of the Lord will calm all fears. Listen closely. Because the greater fear releases us from all other fear. I love that. You ought to write that in the back of your Bible. I love that. I wrote that down as just on a side margin note, and I found it today. I said, I got to find that quote. If you, as a sheep, truly fear the shepherd, as you should, remember when Solomon came to the end of Ecclesiastes, he said, all is vanity except to what? Fear God and keep His commandments. We said here 6 months or so ago that a reverential fear of God is needed in America today. A fear for God is needed in America today. And I would tell you, a fear for God is needed in most Christians' lives today. And the reason why so much nonsense goes on in Christians' lives is because they do not fear God and fear the chastisement of the Lord, the chastening of the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, as I preach Sunday, I'm not going to re-preach the sermon, you reap what you sow. It does, absolutely. And so we understand that the fear of the Lord will calm all other fears. We must understand that it's, again, His presence, even in the midst of danger, that gives us peace. It's in His presence, even in the midst of chaos and stress, that He gives us rest. What do you fear tonight? What person has caused fear in your life? What circumstance? What inability? Some people are just have a very much of an inferiority complex, and it plagues them. Feel, I don't have the ability to do that, or whatever the case is. What weakness is there that has caused you to fear tonight? Listen, those are not to be defeated by their absence, but by His presence. By His presence. They are defeated by the Lord. Look to Jesus, the great shepherd, and His presence. So the shepherd has to deal, number one, with the fear of the sheep. Number two, he has to deal with the friction among the sheep. I like this one. Sheep are contrary animals. There's always a budding order among the sheep. This is the same way among cows, too. If any of you ever mess with cows much, I don't know if Brother Hokett's back in or not, so I better make sure the story is correct. But usually in a herd of cattle, there'll be one old mama cow. You think it would be the bull. But most of the time, it's like an old mama cow who kind of leads the pack, you know, down the trail. And man, at some point, she becomes boss. Now, it's not as radical with cattle because that can tend to go back and forth among certain cows in the herd. But in sheep, I understand, generally speaking, there'll be one sheep, one ewe in that flock that absolutely takes control of the flock. And there's a budding order, an order of rank in the sheep, and it's done by them budding each other, right? We've seen on TV, you know, mama lamb, you know, mama sheep butting people around. Anyway, sheep become jittery. Sheep become, as that friction builds in the flock, there's no rest. But when the shepherd arrives, there's no more budding order. That's what I'm told. It all goes away. And honestly, they have the feeling, and it just permeates the flock, that the real chief is here. The man in charge just showed up. And again, it calms and gives the sheep rest. Man, what a great picture of what the Lord does for us. Calms our fears, gives us rest, calms the friction among the flock. And we, of course, tonight, we are the flock of God here tonight. Heritage Baptist Church, and God's people deal with friction all the time. But when there's friction, there's no rest. As you think about that for a moment, when we don't have peace and we don't have rest with God, friction occurs. So when we as individuals don't have peace and rest with God, then we become irritable, just like sheep do. And we cause friction among the flock. Irritated, criticizing others. When Jesus is out of the picture, fractions happen. When our eyes are not on Jesus, schisms happen. Can we just say again, we're all people? We're all people with various personalities? It's a miracle that any church could run over 20. And that 20 would have to be all family members, probably. If it wasn't for Jesus, you know what I'm saying? It's our purpose that unites us in spreading the gospel. And when we get our eyes off our purpose, we've experienced that as a church. When you get your eyes off the purpose, man, frictions and schisms and all these things happen. What is the key to having peace? Or what's the key to having rest when friction takes place? It's very easy. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It is the shepherd that brings rest when the friction comes. We deal with friction not by making everyone perfect. That ain't happening. Especially the guy in the pulpit. But by living consciously in the presence of Jesus. As each of us live in the presence of the Lord, then it brings rest. Not just to our own souls, but to the church as well, to the flock of God. Let us remember that. Amen? I think that's a great illustration. And there's so much that you can illustrate by way of the shepherd and sheep analogy. Lastly, not only does the shepherd have to deal with the fear of the sheep and the friction among the sheep, but he has to deal with the hunger of the sheep. He has to provide for them. He has to provide for them. If the sheep are going to rest, he must feed them. He maketh them to lie down in green pastures. But can I tell you, it's the pastor of his choosing. Sometimes we like to choose our own path. And that's a great deal of the problem. We like to choose our own field. But can I tell you, he's already cleared a field. He's already removed the rocks from a particular field. He's already planted the field. And he has a particular reason for you to be in that field feeding. Some people, realizing fear and friction and food are necessary for sheep to rest. You know, this is an easy one to understand. That Jesus feeds the flock by way of His Word. The book that feeds the soul is the Bible. This is our food. He's provided for us a pasture. He's provided for us a field to graze in. But the Bible so many times is neglected. This was said the Sunday night by Brother Zellner in the prayer meeting. Something to this effect. It's amazing how easy it really is to sit down and read. How easy it is to pray. But try to do it for a few days. And see how hard it really is. It's one of the easiest things to do. Yet, one of the hardest things to do is to maintain a consistent prayer life, a consistent daily Bible reading. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And can I tell you, the pasture that He's provided for us is His Word. To graze therein and to read therein, to feed upon the Word of God. We know that nobody can see a starving soul. I can't tell whether your soul is starving or not. There are many people who can come into church and say the right things and, you know, do the right things, wear the right stuff, and you can fake it, right? And yet, if you were to ask your soul, soul, are you starving? There are some here tonight, no doubt, whose soul would say, yes, I'm starving. You haven't fed me. You haven't fed me. I mentioned this again Sunday, but we have got to starve that old man, starve that old nature, and feed the new man, feed the new nature, feed our soul. And that food is found in the Word of God. I put this down that a lot of times an individual gets saved and they'll come to church like ours and they'll hear the preacher preach and you should do this, and don't do this, and you should do that, and that, and that, and don't do that, that, and that. And they'll think, okay, if I do this, this, and this, and that, that, and that, man, I'll just polish up the flesh real good. Man, our goal is not to polish up the flesh. Our goal is not to polish up the flesh. Our goal is to commune with God. Amen. My goal is to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My goal is to develop my relationship with Him in order that He might clean me up. Because you can't do it. And I cannot do it. He has to do it through us. Go to the pastures. Go to the green pastures that He has given us and graze therein. Christ gave us the pasture of the Bible and prayer. And yet, our natural man, the old man, fights it. And resists grazing in it. I don't know much about sheep, but I've worked with cattle growing up with my pawpaw, and many times, especially he leased a bunch of property. He leased several hundred acres. And so he used to just keep maybe 15 head or 20 head. Well, he went from 15 or 20 head to 50 or 75 head. And whereas before his 15 head of cattle were pretty tame. Most of those cows he could reach up and even pet on the nose and, you know, just pretty tame. But when he got going, there was a bunch of those cows you wouldn't get close to. And we had a quarter horse that my papa had bought the grandchildren when I was 8 years old. We learned to ride a horse. And so one summer, I told some of you this story, so that's okay. It'll be okay. And we went up, and I was helping him one summer for 3 or 4 weeks, and we were helping move the cattle one time, and I was on the horse moving the cattle, and I just never got in the gallop and got that cow back over in the herd. I got that cow back over in the herd. And about one time, one of the calves just went, whoop, I mean, just darted right out of the herd. Well, the horse did too. The horse just went, whoop, and I went, bonk, right on the ground. I'll never forget it. Pawpaw said, got to hold on to that saddle horn, boy, when you're working on the cows. Okay, and from then on, I never let go of it. And, boy, that just shoot out. Just shoot out of the herd, you know, just shoot out that way. Little sheep trying to herd them in. I could just imagine that. Like herding cats, I don't know. Can I tell you that the Lord shouldn't have to do that with us? But we resist Him. That old natural man resists Him. It resists the shepherd. Even though it hears His voice, He's our shepherd, right? It resists Him. As we yield to the voice of the Lord, as we yield to the will of God, He gives us rest. We try our best to meet our own needs. We try our best to solve our own problems. And we fall miserably short of solving them. Can I tell you that it's Jesus Christ and Him alone that can truly calm our fears. Not take away the danger. That's not the solution. He calms our fears because He's in our presence. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He gives us rest because He can calm and He can help and He can take care of the friction going on in our lives. Whether it's with the part of the church body or with outside people, He can take care of those frictions. People are not perfect, folks. I think we need to be reminded of that every once in a while. Pastor's not perfect. Deacons aren't perfect. Pastor's wife isn't perfect. Y'all can tell her about that one again, too. Jesus Christ solves those. Jesus Christ feeds us. He's promised to supply all of our needs. I'm so glad today I don't have to worry about what's going on the table tomorrow night. I don't have to worry about if I want to go home tonight and have a bowl of cereal. If I want to. I'm not saying I'm going to, but if I want to. Jesus provides all my needs, my physical needs, my emotional needs, my relational needs. As He supplies those and deals with our fear and the friction and the supply of food and raiment and so forth, we can have rest. Do you have rest tonight? Well, maybe you don't have rest because you're not living in the presence of the Lord. Maybe you don't have rest tonight because you're not feeding upon His Word. Maybe you're not resting tonight because there's friction with someone either in this room or outside this room. Rest is found in yielding to the Lord. Are you yielded to Him? Let's all stand.